That is the theme song for Nashville, I think. This is You've Been Challenged. I'm Craig Collins.
And I'm Rachel Woodall.
We are very excited. I am very excited. Something I say every week and then admonish myself for saying every week.
Are you ever not excited?
I don't know. I'm probably excited all the time. But I am legitimately very excited because of our guest in studio tonight. Alicia, you are here. Introduce yourself to our audience and tell us a little bit about you.
Hi, my name is Alicia Swizz, and I'm a professor of media studies and pop culture at Harold Washington College.
Awesome.
Yes, shout out. I'm also a performer around town. I do stand-up and storytelling. I do a show called Feminist Happy Hour at the Whistler, which is a fabulous cocktail bar. Mm-hmm. And I do a show called Slut Talk, which is about... Sorry, Frogamother. About destigmatizing the language and the narrative around women's sexuality and slut shaming and all that good stuff.
Yeah, that second thing you just said is incredibly interesting to me. How long have you been doing Slut Talk?
Slut Talk's pretty new. I did the first show back in February, and we were trying to do it monthly, but we haven't had a consistent venue. So we've done 8 shows now, but they've been at like different venues all over the city.
That's kind of cool.
It's rad.
You do them live. You do them out in the world. See, and I said that to some other guests that we've had on this podcast, that it's different than what we do because we sit in a studio. We're still mimicking kind of what you'd hear on the radio a little bit, but we don't interact with anybody. And we don't even get calls since we're doing the podcast thing, which is a lot sadder.
Right. And we get no comments on Facebook
And we get
Live.
No comments on Facebook
Live. No one even likes our Facebook page.
We have 4 people watching us, though.
So all right. Well, I'll tell my people. Go the Facebook page. What are you? You're live?
You've Binge Challenged.
This show, yeah.
I love a good pun, y'all. So I just have to say thank you for having me and having a punny name.
Yes.
Like, so I'm very into it.
Because it's
a punny name.
It's a punny name. A lot of people criticize it, though, for being way too hard to say, by the way. You've Binge Challenged.
It is hard, but I've got to say, already, Craig told me that you and I are like long, what did you say?
I think you guys are long lost best friends. Oh yeah.
And I already love you. So.
Okay, me too. I love you too. My sister's name is Rachel.
Oh my God.
Perfect.
All this is happening.
So basically we're related. Yeah, we're related right now. I just had a friend of mine, like, speaking of something that happened recently, I don't know if you want to, but
no,
which just happened this week with the rally. And so I was on Vocalo, which is another great local radio shout out. Mm-hmm. And Jill Hopkins, the host, was like, "So you invited like 200 of your closest friends?" And I was like, "Pretty much, I am best friends with like every woman I meet." So yes, that is correct.
So you just mentioned the rally that you had. And this was a protest rally against Donald Trump, right?
Against Donald Trump. That was the main thing. There's been a lot of other language added to it already, but no, we were there to be against Donald Trump specifically and his words and actions.
And then you were on the Fox News and stuff too, right?
I just was like, God, I have been downtown way too many times this week. Like when I was walking over here and I walked past the tower again, I was like,
oh my God.
For the third time.
Well, thank you for not bringing 200 friends. We would have been able to
I'm like, listen, this is my posse. They come with me everywhere now.
Hey, I'm all about that anti-Trump.
You're pretty funny with the Facebook Live right now. Just
I know she's
that.
Into it. Like, are you selfieing?
I'm not pointing it at myself. I'm pointing it at you guys.
But from our perspective, like, you're just hanging out playing with your hair with your phone. Like,
no, I swear. It's not on me.
Listen, we believe you.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and talk
about... I believe
about,
women.
Let's go ahead and talk about why I would think that you'd just be on your phone, Rachel. Nashville is the
Wait,
show
what?
We're here. Wait,
yes.
Here, I'll get there. I'll get there. I'm going to build all the pieces.
There's gonna be
Nashville is the show that we're here for You've Been Challenged to speak about. And I don't think, Rachel, you were the biggest fan of said show. I don't mean to call you out on it.
Okay.
And I'm curious before we get into that to ask Alicia why you picked this show. Because when we ask a guest to be on, you can pick any show you want, and this is the one you wanted.
Oh my God, it was so hard to pick just because I've like binge watched so many things. But I freelance write too, and I haven't written about Nashville, and it's kind of one of my I've been really into it. I love Callie Curry, the creator of the show. She did Thelma and Louise, which I teach.
That's my favorite movie,
girl. I teach it in my class. It should be your favorite movie. It should be everyone's favorite movie. It's so bad. And I love Connie Britton.
Oh my God, I love Connie Britton.
We did Friday Night Lights
for this podcast already. We've done that show. Yeah.
I mean, how good is that show?
Oh my God, it's amazing. And her character is so great. That's one thing that I was a little surprised at. I don't think, maybe in the first season, because that's all that I watched, that she's quite as powerful of a woman as she is in Friday Night Lights. I felt like at times she was a more powerful character.
Yeah, let's unpack that for sure.
Yeah, let's unpack that. Let's talk about that.
Right because, now? You want to just jump right in?
Let's go ahead and talk about that. Because in Friday Night Lights, the head coach
Tammy
of the football
Taylor,
team.
For the record.
Right, yeah. Tammy Taylor. The head coach of the football team is the kind of guy that you would think might be with a weaker woman. I don't know why I would say that like mm-hmm. that, but that's just sort of the impression you get maybe from football in general, all that kind of stuff. But she's a very powerful person, and I sort of fell in love with her as an actress and a person because of that show.
Here's what I think is fascinating about that. Okay, so yeah. Tammy Taylor is well, first of all, I lived in the South for a long time. My mm-hmm. stepmom's from Mississippi. You know, so I have a very strong relationship to Southern culture, although sure. I'm not native to it. I was born in New Jersey.
Yes.
Yeah, but like totally. Also like total opposite.
Right.
But also having lived in the Midwest, I will say there is an East Coast, like from the top to the bottom, that mm-hmm. is, I think, a little different than like Midwest. I'm learning.
Yeah.
That. Yeah.
This all seems to make sense to me.
Yeah. Regional things aside. But, you know, I think you take that in when you're watching the show. And I think also kind of as a critic, you know, especially someone who looks at something like gender, you know, yeah. you're like, okay, where are they? You know,
right.
what space are they inhabiting? And this is very like white women's or white people's
yeah.
Southern culture.
Well off. Right,
yeah.
White
to a certain extent yeah. because he's the football coach. So, you know, he's still like the public teacher, but it's
right.
Texas where football is life. You know,
right.
Friday Night Lights is based on research.
Yeah.
It's
no,
based
and actually,
on real stuff.
Like their high school football team, but they play in a facility that's incredible. They have
right.
like
right,
professional
right, right.
sort
all that.
Of equipment.
They scout them.
Exactly.
I mean, if yeah. But Nashville is similar. And I think Raina, her Connie Britton's character on
Raina
Nashville
James.
Is similar to Tammy Taylor. They both inhabit, right, these like normative spaces of like femininity
mm-hmm.
and what like a powerful woman looks like when you're married to the powerful man in the town, right?
Yes.
The football coach. Or what the powerful woman looks like when you're a celebrity or you like are this country star. Because in Nashville, she does her husband isn't really, you know, he's not really an alpha. He's, I mean, in the season
no,
I watched, we see her relationship shift.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of interesting.
Is that season one that you
no,
watched?
No, I ended up watching season three since
okay.
you were like, do whatever.
Yeah.
And,
because in season one, something I'll also say about this show, and Rachel, I'll let you jump in a second too, of course.
I've never seen Friday Night Lights, so I had nothing
oh my
to
God,
add to that.
It's great.
Oh, it's good. You
watch
might
that.
Like it better than Nashville.
I don't like football.
No, I think
okay.
you like it better.
Shows.
No.
Okay, see, that's like one of my like weird, like people are like, you're a feminist. Like, I love football movies and like football. Well, I love sport culture.
Yeah.
I teach it in my class, and my brother's a huge sports fan, and we're really close. And I like grew up with my dad and brother going to games because
mm-hmm.
my parents, you know, so it's just
yeah.
very like, much the fabric of how my identity developed, but as I've become more, you know, like I'm not as into it as much anymore, but I like the culture of
would
it.
Would you
kind of.
Like it if you're not interested in football?
Yes, I think
so. And
okay.
I do think, you know, and we'll talk about Nashville, I guess eventually.
Well, eventually Nashville.
But back to Friday Night Lights, the female characters in that are really dynamic and interesting
yes.
and diverse.
Okay.
I, for one, really appreciate that it's teen culture, and Nashville has this too.
Yeah, it does.
Because Raina's raising two daughters, like, in the media spotlight, and I've always been really fascinated not just by, like, women's issues, but specifically, like, adolescent, like, teen girl culture.
Sure.
Got
and, like,
it.
Think
okay.
about, yeah, think about how infrequently you see, or just think about the teen girls you know in television or movies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, what are they doing? How do we see them acting? Like, what are their storylines? And, like, the most popular ones are pretty positive ones, like Gilmore Girls.
Oh, my God.
Like,
yeah!
You know, like
Sorry.
Ugly Betty. Well, she wasn't.
31 Days?
Yeah.
Yeah, 31
Something
Days
like
till the Netflix thing comes
see,
out.
See, now, I didn't watch that show.
No, what Gilmore
Girls?
About,
it,
do you
you'd like
have
that.
You seen Pretty Little Liars?
I
oh.
haven't. I know.
Oh.
I'm, like, on the
this.
Fence
I
about it because I just, you do.
That show.
Okay.
I started watching it, though, when it came on. So I don't know if it's because I've grown with it. But
sure.
They're teenagers.
Right.
Until this year, they finally did a time jump, so they're closer to their real ages.
Okay.
Oh.
But that's like teen
I'm, I
culture,
look so excited. I'm so excited.
High school probs, but also they're being like stalked by a psycho who like locks them in a dollhouse.
And yeah.
That part. That last part. I don't know if that was a sales pitch. That was intense.
It's amazing.
Okay,
it gets,
yeah, right.
It gets crazy.
Right.
So anyways.
I mean,
we're
it's like one of those
podcast.
Things that it's like, okay, Bechdel test, right? You have like three girls as the leading parts. So like visibility.
Four and then five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think on that level, that's
it
important
definitely
too.
Passes
you know, just
the
to see
test.
Them. Yeah, and see mm-hmm. them. But then it's also, like, you know, we all have, this is what I always say to people about like feminism too. Like, we all have our wheelhouses, you know? So like Pretty Little Liars doesn't, it's, and since you didn't like Nashville, you know, it sounds like our like dramatic viewing watching. It's just like not the same.
To be fair though, what you just described about the third season of Nashville sounds more intriguing, I think, than the first season. Because the kids.
Sure. We watched the first
season. Yeah, the two girls are much younger. They perform actually so cute.
How great are they?
Oh my God, they're so great.
And like Nashville is really represented, like Nashville, the city, and country music culture, which is super problematic, which is what I think makes the show so dynamic and interesting. Like the things they're reflecting, even though it is a little bit of bias, you know, we don't see a lot of like racial diversity.
No, we don't.
But we're seeing the storylines that are actually being mirrored, like on CMT and like in like country music media. No, but for real.
I have a question about the country music world and how it's represented in Nashville.
Okay, I don't know that much about it.
Every time that they record a song in country music, is there a whole bunch of sexual tension in the room? Because in Nashville, the TV show, every time they're in the recording studio, there's so much sexual tension.
Yeah.
And it seems like sometimes the characters had no relationship interest in each other, then they're in the studio, and then all of a sudden all the sex stuff pops
up. I mean, that's the power of music, man. You've never had that happen before.
Like what, no one's higher. That's everything.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But I told Craig this. I think I started dating like the last three people that I dated, which is
this is apparently.
I don't date a lot of people, but writing songs with them. Every
time. Because you're a songwriter?
Kind of.
Right. Cool.
I'm into music, but I was just like, so when one of the chicks was like writing a song with another dude, I was like, whoa.
Oh, that's a thing.
You need to back off. Like if someone was writing a song with my boyfriend, I would be a little
and
bit
they're talking
like,
about,
oh, I see. You were like, this is too intimate.
She's talking
it
about
is a
Scarlett.
Very intimate so, well, process.
Okay, hey, great
yeah, small
segue.
Small blonde lady.
Great segue.
Scarlett is one of my favorite people ever.
Because
oh,
you guys.
Crazy. No. Let's not disparage Scarlett. I know why you want to disparage Scarlett, but she's the sweetest, nicest human.
Exactly. That's why she's the worst character.
She stood up for herself. When she had to, when Avery was off, like trying
well, you
to
watched
bang
season
his way to the
one.
Top. See, I did.
Scarlett kind of, she's a roller coaster as far as a character, not in a person.
Okay.
But like for one thing, I that actress just I don't love her. Like I'm not gonna say anything mean or shaming.
I
like she's
her.
A gorgeous freaking
she
voice.
Is.
She's beautiful
That's
to look
true.
At in a very like. You know, kind of like gentle and endearing way. I love her story arc that starts to develop because you learn about her mom.
Oh, no, I don't know.
So you learn about Scarlett's mom, who's Deacon's sister.
Right. I knew that they were related.
So, yeah.
Who's Deacon?
Okay.
Deacon
you
is
need
the
to
main
describe,
guitar player.
Describe to me who they are because
so
all
Raina,
the men on this show look
alike.
The same.
I mean, white dudes. Am I right?
It's all white
it's so
dudes
true.
With brown hair and guitars.
I know.
And, like,
I know. And guitars.
Scrap.
And like, I know. Oh my God, I love you. Yeah.
Guys-
I mean, like, so true. Like put a plaid shirt up.
If
like, can you
a-
just put different patterns on their shirts so
one
we can
of,
tell them
one
apart?
Of the, one of the characters, Liam, is from a Game of Thrones. Or, well, I technically
no.
from this first.
What is he freaking from? And it took me a minute to recognize it.
What?
And
no,
I was
he's
like,
he's
oh,
in Game of Thrones.
What did he do on
by
Game of Thrones?
No,
he's, I
have to
he's
find out the other
Daenerys is like relationship guy.
That's why he looked familiar. The dude she bangs.
That she bangs a few times. Yeah.
But she
one
should
of the
when she should really be with Grey Worm because I mean
she
honestly
shouldn't be with Grey Worm.
He is the biggest babe on that show and he loves
Wait,
her.
We're talking about
so
way too
nice.
Many shows that aren't Nashville. But Grey Worm, no, he's wonderfully with that other person. What is that girl's name? There's the other one.
Oh, the girl that always the girl with the
is
nice
that
abs.
With an M? Yeah, she's well, she's very pretty.
Well, my first note on Nashville
okay,
was all the men look the same. I had to go back after like episode 5 and rewatch the end of episode 1 to check who Hayden was seducing on her couch because I went through like 5 episodes thinking she was with little curly hair girl's boyfriend. What's her name? Scarlett's boyfriend. But she wasn't with him
Avery.
Yet.
Avery.
Mm-hmm. But then I watched an episode of season 4, and then I was like, wait a second.
Yeah. Okay, so you guys like only watched season 1, right?
Correct.
I need to know if there are some boundaries here. Like, are
no,
spoilers
no,
okay?
No, so please.
What about language? Can I say the F word?
No.
If you do, Craig will yell at you.
So,
no,
Rachel,
I can know that
so
and do it.
Rachel,
I have a swear jar.
Rachel does use curse words on the show. That's what I'm going to call them. And I bleep them all. So you can use them as much as you want. And then you have to donate to our swear jar. And I have to bleep you.
Okay. I mean, I don't mind being bleeped in that sense of it.
Okay,
I mean,
then you do
like,
you.
I understand the FCC and whatever.
Well, no,
but,
we have no rules in the podcast. That's just sort of like the WGN brand
oh, right,
and
podcast,
me.
Yeah. Wherever we are. Where are we? Yeah. Are we in the internet, you guys?
We're so on the internet. Yes. It's so lovely. So wait, what were you saying now?
Well, just like, do we need to set anything up? Like, okay, so like we have Raina James, who's like the main, Connie Britton, who we were talking about from Friday Night Lights. Mm-hmm. Like,
oh, right.
Yeah, she's the main one with the great hair.
Right. She's the,
okay,
she's,
all the women have great hair, by the way.
I mean, it's, listen, so, it's Nashville.
One kind of challenge for this podcast is that I'm curious what people listen, if it's people that are really familiar with the show or people that aren't. Because if it's people that are really familiar with Nashville, we obviously don't need to explain the main premise of the show. But anyone that's not, real quick, there's two country stars. One is a fading talent. I wouldn't say either, but that's
but
the way
she's
that it says.
She's an adult. She's like the country music queen. She's like, you know, like Reba or Shania, right?
Faith Hill.
Faith Hill. She's, oh, right. I forgot about her.
I would say it's like the familiar television trope of there's a lady who's, or there's a person who's a big star, and then the younger model comes in.
Exactly.
And 100%. Is taking over, and so it's the older person dealing with it. But also, because I got so excited because my new best friend is here, I forgot I'm supposed to keep us on track, and you both need to give me a one-sentence summary of this show.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Before we do anything else, summarize the show in just one sentence.
Okay. Country music.
I like that so far. The world of country music.
You can have
music.
As many words as you want.
Right, I know. I'm like, I'm a professor, okay? I don't want to do some big old run-on sentence and then, like, I'm the idiot, you know?
Use a semicolon.
Yeah, I mean, I've read enough descriptions of it that I think I could probably just recite the one-liner on IMDb, you know? It's like country music star Raina James, and then you kind of know she's a woman, right, you know? Struggles with, like, career challenges.
When established country music star Raina James, world collides with newcomer
Juliet Barnes.
Drama unfolds.
The drama of country music. Yeah.
Right. The world of Nashville on your television. I don't know.
Oh, the world. Yeah. Like,
I want to go to Nashville,
Pepper,
by the way.
Have you guys been to Nashville? Something needs to be said about the soundtrack, too, because they write and perform a lot of original music that's great.
The actresses really sing those songs?
I don't think the actresses are writing them, but they're performing them.
Really?
All the actors are performing them. Scarlett and Gunnar, those two are, like, musician-forward actors.
I love Scarlett even more now.
Yeah, no, they're great. I mean, she's
Scarlett
an opera singer.
Singing is the
she's
good
an opera
singing.
Singer. I think she's, like, a trained opera singer. She's
Why
Australian.
Do you guys not like Scarlett? She's so wonderful.
No, her character bugs me.
Okay, right. Okay,
and
right.
It's not the actress's fault either, and I just don't like the way the actress plays the character, and it's not even
it's fine,
you know. But you know, I hate when people are like, "Oh, I hate this actress." It's like you don't even know this person, you know. Like you don't like things happening on your show,
right?
Which I get, but yeah. So and Scarlett and Avery are like new to Nashville. Scarlett is the niece of Deacon Claiborne. Deacon is Raina James's right-hand man guitarist.
Right.
And of course, you end up learning slowly, progressively more details throughout the entire season.
Well,
so I watched season 3 where you get kind of the whole Deacon Raina story.
So let's talk
you don't
about,
know the whole story.
Let's talk
first.
About that a little bit. I was surprised how quickly things transpired in season 1 because you can obviously tell that Raina and Deacon have had a relationship. You know that early on in the first season. And they've
always written music and perform together.
Right.
So, like, their professional and personal is very, like, enmeshed.
Because Raina's career is sort of on a kind of trying to find where to go at that point. She's struggling a little bit. She's not selling out arenas anymore.
Right,
she performs
right.
in a small venue called the Bluebird.
Her
which we see
record
a lot.
Label is changing management. The new guy is kind of a jerk.
They're more in love with Hayden Panettiere than
they
are
like
with her.
The young hot girl, and she's of course this little wild child. And like,
and she is
props
hot.
To Hayden Panettiere. Like, first of all, real life activists love her. Mm-hmm. And like, can we just again football movies? Remember the Titans?
Yeah,
that's her.
Right, I know.
That little,
she's also
that little
in
sassy
Heroes.
Mouth.
She's also in
yeah, I didn't watch
Bring
that
It On.
Oh yeah, she is. Yes, she is.
Bring
All
on
or
three.
Nothing. Listen, the best Bring It On movie where she crumps.
I am here for a cheerleading movie, okay?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
I will never hesitate.
Yeah, and she's very, very pretty. But so what I was saying is that I'm very surprised how quickly some of the relationships escalated. Within the first season, Raina gets a divorce. Raina winds up sleeping with Deacon. All these things happen
in the first season. That's all in the first
season. But isn't Deacon the one that... Juliet also bangs.
So Juliet,
Deacon, who she was banging in episode 1.
Deacon
right?
gets around a little bit.
She was like seducing.
Deacon in episode 1, she slept with the producer.
No, she kissed him.
No,
and then
she
he
was
came
always
over
on
to her
Deacon.
House.
No,
and then she was with another dude in her house.
The, I mean, she was with someone.
She was like, I wish you'd call.
Who cares? Like that. I mean,
I was just confused because I thought it was Scarlett's boyfriend.
Well, that
seriously,
that doesn't does
right,
that happen?
Doesn't
in season
she have
one?
A baby with him?
She does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Avery
and like gets postpartum depression.
Yeah, her storyline is so fascinating.
Juliet.
And like, yeah. And again, even back to Friday Night Lights and just some of these arcs of like very specific silenced kind of storylines that are happening in real people's lives and Southern culture specifically, you know, that is still so like shameful and quiet and patriarchal and male dominated. And these women that are powerful, you know, I'm using air quotes, are powerful in certain spaces, right?
Yeah.
Like Tammy Taylor was powerful, you know, in the home and in her relationship, but we all like it started getting that conflict when she was in the school and now she's the guidance counselor.
Yeah, you're right.
Or what was she? She ended up being like vice principal or something.
Right.
And her husband are having all these conflicts from a school perspective because she's walking in there talking about your football players are sexually harassing girls.
Right.
And you're like, hell yeah, Tammy Taylor.
Right, exactly.
And Raina Jean does the same thing in Nashville in country music.
When does she do that? Because that's
So it's a bummer. She gets there. Okay.
Because I would say that Juliet is actually a more powerful person, a more powerful character to me at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
There's moments where she certainly.
This is so Hillary, right? We don't like the old one we've been looking at forever. She's not likable.
I don't mean more intriguing.
No,
I like both characters a lot, but from a perspective of how they are, how they interact with people, just how they behave, Juliet is very confident about who she is, about some of the stuff. It's interesting. In one of the, I think it's the third episode, we see her watching a music video that they had shot, and it's overly sexualized, and she even says how much she dislikes her own product.
Right.
And in the first episode, you're convinced that she is very happy with the fact that she's a sort of sexual, you know, celebrity. She's maybe making it based on her looks, whatever. And then that's not who she is.
Like such a mythical narrative.
Right.
Like none of these women are like making it on their looks.
Exactly.
You know, like they're being told that their look has to match A, B, and C for them to be talented. Well,
doesn't
enough,
she also
know,
not
so.
Like her lyrics, though?
Yeah.
She does.
And that's why she starts going towards Deacon, because
exactly.
She wants to write with him.
She
and
wants
also,
to grow up.
The backstory, like, oh my God, I'm getting chills on my face. Because one of my favorite story arcs of this is Raina and Juliet.
Got it.
Because it's a beautifully written, and this is what is so great about Callie Curry, the creator, again. She knows women's lives, and she knows women's stories. And while, yes, on some level, this is privileged white women, and that's one experience.
Well, Juliet's not privileged.
Well, she's
not. She becomes privileged because she's famous, but I guess what I also like about her.
She's white, so from that perspective. Oh, but, yeah, she comes from, she's lower
her mom,
class.
Her
mom was an addict.
Drug addict, all this other stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and and that's part of what we learn about her, and we also end up learning about Raina too, who even though she came from privilege, she has it like she was kicked out when she was 16.
Right. Well, her dad is an atrocious human.
Oh my God,
Lamar
disgusting.
Is the worst guy.
Well, that's
ever.
Part of the reason I didn't rewatch one once you told me. I was like, I don't need to see all the dad stuff.
Oh God.
Like he
He's
dies
okay.
and it gets so much better. Like it does.
Wow.
No.
But what
you
I
know,
was saying
because-
was. Raina and Juliet end up having a really they go through all these nuances of like women have to compete with each other. There can only be one, right? You can't have two successful women on your label. Like, God forbid.
Yeah, of course not.
You can have two women on a bill.
Yeah.
And so you really start to see this feminist narratives come out in that way that are just like women in media, right? Women in specifically country music and what that looks like.
Got
the standards of beauty, ageism, the competition, and then Juliet, we learn, is like a huge Raina fan. She grew up on her music, but like she's like a millennial, you know? They're
oh
pains in the ass.
Yeah.
So she's got this ego stuff.
Well, so let me
you know.
Just try to validate
anyway.
A little bit my impression of Connie Britton's character, at least in the beginning, because there's a moment where she writes a song after she sort of has a falling out with Deacon and she can't decide what male producer to work with, and then she decides to write it on her own, and she's a little nervous about that. And those moments, to me, are where she compares differently than Hayden Panettiere's character, because Hayden Panettiere seems to be someone who, even though her career is just starting off, so she's allowing people to sort of push her career certain ways, she is very openly dissatisfied to the people that are creating her character or creating her celebrity character, whatever you want to call it. She's openly dissatisfied with that. And Connie Britton seems to be struggling with that, at least in the first season, a little bit more. There's moments like that where I think, you know, there's the younger character, for whatever reason, is slightly more assertive or just
stronger
maybe,
sense of self.
Well, yeah, that's the one. She's got a stronger sense of self in the first season.
But does she?
And here's
maybe
because
as we go, she
so
does not.
Things. I mean, she's I don't know how I don't want to. The way that she stands up with her mom, but so she's like,
let's talk about her relationship with her mother, because her mother is a drug addict that we see from the first episode, calling and trying to get back into her daughter's life, and probably still addicted, and certainly at some point goes to rehab. I think that the way she behaves with her mom is a really great demonstration of the powerfulness in Juliet as a person.
But then look at,
because
like,
that is not easy to do, to look at your parent and say, I want no relationship with you, to never forgive or to not want. And I know that there's flaws in
her,
that too.
God, say
her
what
coping
say,
skills though with that are like problematic and kind of show that she does have a lot of growth to do. Because what does she do? Like the first time her mom calls her and she's in that closet, like she opens up the door and she macks on her producer.
Yes, yeah.
And
yeah.
She doesn't like, I feel like it's just dangerous for her.
I love this storyline. I mean, I love this. I mean, even for, it is a trope sort of, you know, mm-hmm. but it's also not a trope. This is the experience of being a girl in America. Okay. You know, like no matter what your relationship to your mother is, you know, and that's going to obviously help and affect it in certain ways. But, you know, one thing I want to point out is, disassociating from a parent must be hard, and it sucks to grow up without one. But also, like, that's not everybody's hardest moment in their life,
you know?
Like, so it's like, that's another, like, kind of normative space. And that's another thing about this show. Like, they focus a lot on family, like, mm-hmm. family values, mm-hmm. and, like, the masculinity issues are all tied into, like, being fathers or being someone's husband.
And to that, to that extent, Connie Britton does pretty much the same job in standing up to her dad, who's this domineering, crappy human, and she's the only one. April O'Neil, by the way, is in the show. We haven't mentioned that yet. April O'Neil from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, that is the sister of Connie. I can't remember her name.
She's not Ninja Turtles?
Judith Hogue. April O'Neil. She plays April in the original ones, not the
live action ones,
not the
right?
Megan Fox ones.
Oh,
yeah.
I got to look that up. That is a callback.
I haven't seen her in a while, and then she pops up.
I love her,
like,
the
she's
sister.
So great. Yeah.
I love the sister.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, back to what I wanted to say. No. I just want to, because I think what you're calling attention to is really important. And
yeah,
so there's a couple of things to note here, right? Juliet Lewis, what's her name?
Juliet Barnes.
Juliet. I love Juliet
Me
Lewis,
too.
Though, and she has a band, too. Like, can she have a TV show?
Can we talk about her?
Oh, my God. I hope she hears this. Tweet me. I love you. And so Juliet Barnes, she's at the beginning of her career.
Yes.
Okay, so really, when you compare her and Raina's behavior, you should be considering what Raina's behavior was at the beginning of her career,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, kind of, sort of.
Well, I don't get to see a lot of that.
Well,
so.
No, that's my point.
Right.
That's my point.
Yeah, no, perfect.
You know, and, like, that's why I made that comparison to Hillary, too. Like, yeah, like, say, like, someone like Bernie Sanders in the field just as long as Hillary, right? But we never saw him.
No.
We've seen this woman for 30 years, you know?
Right.
So these people, like, in country music, they've been seeing Raina James this whole time, and A, just as a woman, she's kind of getting to that age where women start being invisible, right? She's already had her babies. She's already done her sex pot phase. And what we do find out about Raina is, well, we know she has some experiences, but we know she has always kept walking a line of integrity that is very much kind of the good Southern woman.
Mm-hmm.
What we see about Juliet is...
Not so much. Yeah.
But also, I mean,
she
love her character because I love sluts. I mean, like, she's a total, like, slut-shamed. They're kind of positing her as the big bad vixen and Raina the good girl. But one thing to also think about that I think is fascinating is Juliet's not only at the beginning of her career now, but now in... Like, when did the show start? Like, let's say 2012. It's supposed to be real time.
Right.
So she's country music now. Raina James started her career when? Like, the
80s?
Mm-hmm. Like, that's important to consider.
Oh, yeah.
When you think about... I mean, I realize it's a fake character.
No, I'm really going there with it, right? Please, let's do it.
But if you want to talk about her, just, like, say these characters are real. They're real women in country music mm-hmm. in 2016. You know, mm-hmm. say they are Faith Hill and Taylor Swift, whatever.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
That's
T-Swift.
Cool.
Love her.
T-Swift.
T-Swift.
No,
yeah.
I call her T-Swift. It's going to catch on.
I mean,
go ahead.
It's fine. Swifty.
Thank you.
You know?
Swifty.
Swifty.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
So you were saying?
You can use it.
We interrupted.
You could tell her to tweet me, too.
Okay.
I was just saying, it's really interesting to consider the culture of, say, like, the country mm-hmm. at the time, like the political climate of being. And also Raina, we learn, gets kicked out of her house when she's 16, and that's when she's, like, playing in clubs and, like, gets her record deal. So she's a minor, you know, and you think about things like what happened with Kesha, you know, you think even about like someone like Rihanna, who was not even from America and signed her first record deal when she was like 14 or something, you know, and now we see her as this like 25-year-old or 28-year-old, whatever, how old she is, like, kind of badass B, you know. And I actually think that's a good comparison too, like Rihanna, Beyonce, because Beyonce, have you ever seen her do an interview? Like, she's kind of boring in an interview.
No, I haven't seen.
Because she keeps, like, just like Raina, and hello, good Southern women, you know, she keeps it all composed. She has her, you know, good hair on, her nails done, her outfit, you know, like her, like, going to church game face on, just like Tammy Taylor did too when she would walk into those meetings, you know, and she would speak those people's language. And that's who Raina Jane is, and that's who Hillary Clinton is. And I am not that person. I am Juliet Barnes.
That's totally fine. Can I say how much I love that point, because of what I interpret that to mean then. People who are comfortable being flawed in public are people that I take as more powerful. And I don't know if that's a wrong way to see someone. But if you're comfortable within your flaws and you don't have to put on that fake face, that perfect face doesn't exist.
I don't think it's fake.
It is, though. Let's talk about the Raina and her father relationship, Lamar relationship again real quick.
Okay, for like 5 minutes.
Every part of that is fake.
And then we're moving on.
Part of that is fake in the public world. I know that you wouldn't want to represent
That is fake. Sure. But that's also politicized.
I think that's a pretty good way. Right, exactly. But I think that's a pretty good way to encapsulate the idea that then when you're in a public world, some people put on this face that is not necessarily the person you'd know if you knew them at all in any sort of, you know, personal way.
We do all do that. Goffman, I'm going to go all sociology on you because I'm a teacher.
Again, though, you guys are helping me make my point.
Social roles. Right. This is what we call social. And gender is a huge part of that.
Absolutely.
Judith Butler is the one that coined the term around gender performativity. You know, like, we perform gender, we do it. It's an act. You know, so the way, Raina James specifically does being a good Southern woman looks the way she's constructed it. And that definition also has been reinforced. And again, like you were just even saying about these tropes, like, we know what the trope is of the good Southern white woman, at least. We know the trope of the bad girl, the slut.
All those truths, which I agree with everything you just said, is why I think it is more powerful to be someone who goes against those things, to be someone who's comfortable in the public world not being, you know, a version of what we expect, and being someone who's more free, or I don't know what the right word is to describe the way that I interpret Juliet's behavior, but there's moments where all of her PR team is telling her to do one thing. Now, granted, she lies in an interview about stealing nail polish. Then we find out the reason she steals nail polish is because Lindsay Lohan moment. And the reason she steals nail polish is because she actually wanted to make sure she could protect herself when she was younger, because she grew up in a household where they didn't really have money, and her mom was addicted to drugs. I thought it was a really interesting moment. And then she does an interview on Good Morning America or something, and she's supposed to just say whatever she's supposed to say to get out of it, and she doesn't. She lies. She's defensive. But I think there's something intriguing about being willing to risk everything. She risks her career.
And the, kind of luxury and privilege of that.
Sure.
Because that's the other thing.
No, it's a flaw.
Julia, we see her constantly fighting for her career, too, because of her behavior, whereas we see Raina has a career.
Right.
Like, she, you know, and I'm not saying there's a right or wrong to it. Mm-hmm. The argument you're basically making is this argument, and I use this quote a lot from Audre Lorde, who's a feminist scholar and poet and writer. And she has a great essay that's called, named The Master's Tools, Will Never Dismantle the Master's House. And it's about, you know, kind of dismantling the patriarchy and the structure that oppresses all of us. Like, it oppresses all of us, white men included. Like, Donald Trump, not a happy guy, right? Like, doesn't look like he's living his best life.
No,
we know he's not going home and, binge-watching Nashville and, eating popcorn.
He should. Maybe that would make things better.
I'm saying, right? Yeah. Find your happiness and get to a better place for all of us.
Have you guys seen the hashtag Trump book report?
Oh my God, hilarious.
No. It's the funniest thing ever.
My friend Julia Weiss, Weistie, I think is her name.
Weistie.
She's a performer at Second City. She tweeted something, Babysitter's Club reference. It was so good. It was hilarious.
So last night, Donald Trump gave some incoherent answers to some questions, to the extent that people compared him to a kid in school that didn't read the book but gave a book report.
Yeah.
And everyone's tweeting now.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, Trump quotes. Really funny.
Students are in my class all the time, and I don't even use textbooks. I mostly just give articles, you know?
Yeah.
and because, the catch-22 of the internet now is there's a lot of great, awesome think pieces that are well-researched and well-done at your fingertips, but most people don't know the difference between those and the BS ones. things, right. you know. So I try to assign my students and send them to the sites and give them, you know, specific writers that I know are writing that
Interesting.
Way. But yeah, anyway.
Right. I made you get off topic.
We totally got off track.
I know.
I don't even remember what I was
saying. Because
we
talked about Trump Book Reports.
What? Oh, yeah. So this idea that the master's tools won't dismantle the master's house is like, okay, you're already living in this case, like the structure that is country music, mm-hmm. right? It exists the way it exists. Like, do you know who's running it?
Do I know who's running
yeah.
country music?
Yeah.
Like,
probably
in the real
white
world?
Men.
That's the answer to all
yeah,
the
I
questions.
Yeah, I know that.
Heterosexual, white
right.
rich men.
Yeah, and so what's really cool about Nashville is one, things. Besides it being created by a woman, they go into the homophobia in country music. Mm-hmm. They go,
I was going to ask if
yeah,
they address
they
that because the thing, I kept trying to compare the show to Empire, but I feel like yeah. there's so much more on Empire
I think that we had to get further into the show.
Yeah. Including. Well, and they are comparable in the sense that, like, Empire is very specific to a culture of America and to a specific music. Like, hip-hop culture is so much more than the music. Country yeah. music culture is way more than just the music,
I guess,
know?
I'm just thinking as far as representing, like,
sure.
strong women, gay
right.
men.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Actually, Jamal, like, came out as just, like, what is it, pansexual?
Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah,
I don't know. I think
is that the word he used? I'm not sure. Like gender fluid.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Not he just not said that he loves whoever he loves, and he wrote a song
right.
about it. It was just
right.
a really awesome song.
Right, right. Oh, right.
Because
right,
he
right.
slept with Alicia Keys, and then
I mean, holler.
And
what
yeah, I was like, I would do that too.
Yes.
And then he got some flack.
We all live here for a second. No, go,
yes.
go ahead. Keep
yeah,
calling,
no,
Rachel.
We're not going to live.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
But I just felt like I guess it's true. I think. Maybe what bothered me about the show is I'm not really familiar with the world of country music.
Right.
And looking at that structure from the outside, I'm not cool with it, I guess. And
yeah,
I also
you're like,
didn't,
this sucks.
And I don't love – I liked some of the songs. I think Scarlett is the only singer I would want to actually hear.
Oh, like so buy her record.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's
season
amazing.
One, but do Raina and Juliet do the song together in season one?
They do.
Yeah. It's
I
okay.
love
it's,
that
it's
song.
Like,
I can't
like
think
too.
Of how it goes now. But
I think – Hayden Panettiere just doesn't
though.
Have the best voice. Like,
no, well, they
don't. Very, very well, processed.
Her character's not supposed to, though. They
right.
actually,
I know.
Like,
that's kind
I know.
Of the point,
well,
too.
I was texting Craig, and I was like, this music, I don't like it. And, then, and then she did a take, and then her producer on the show was like, it's okay. That's why we have auto-tune.
Okay.
I was like, oh.
Yeah, because they rolled all that off, and you can yeah. just hear her voice by itself. Yeah.
They do a lot of commentary on that stuff. Like, again, I think Kelly Curry, the creator and the writer she's brought in, like, they're really good at, like, you know, like, articulating these themes and bigger issues in ways that are really accessible. And for yeah. me, that gets me super jazzed. That's part of the reason I like the show. So, I also like country music and
I
like where it lives. But
yeah.
I also, you know, it is kind of like radio-friendly pop country music, which isn't always my favorite.
Yeah, talk about what you mean but, by where country music lives. And you mean that within all
well,
the
country
other kinds
music
of music.
Is, lives in the South. Mm-hmm. You know, like
right.
it lives in one of our most like racist, segregated parts of our country, you
sure.
know? And like country music and like, you know, what most Americans know as blues came out of slave culture, you
yeah.
know? So like when you are watching, when you are looking at CMT and you're seeing all these white faces that now have this like $1 billion industry, you're like,
sure.
okay, like, but where'd you learn to play the guitar? You know what I mean? Like, and even you can say that about
yeah.
rock music too. You can say, listen,
you can say
I am not behind Bob
music.
Dylan for the Nobel Literature
no?
Prize. Oh, hell no.
Okay.
So, yeah.
You
so
want,
that's
do you
like
wanna,
part
do you
of
talk
reason.
About why a little bit?
That's like kind of that's just that same thing.
Got it.
You know, like he like
I think
we don't,
he's an anomaly though.
Ugh,
I think
he's not an anomaly.
He is, though.
He's talented but not an anomaly.
So, one of the songs that the most important songs
you need
he
to
ever
see
sang.
For Superman.
One of the most important songs that he ever sang, a lot of people thought that he was a black guy when they heard the song. And I think it was a really important time to sing a song like that. The
yes,
the, you know,
sure,
yeah.
But like, well, women were singing those songs too, and like,
I'm sure
you know,
were.
Like Nikki
no, no.
Giovanni was around
so
writing
here,
actual poems.
No, no, no. So here,
you know,
here's the problem. Yes,
I just don't like that award for him.
No, you're
like,
absolutely
you know?
Right. That society at the time made those voices, the white male voice, the only one that we heard, and that's a shame that that's something that was happening. It is good though that some of these people who were given that opportunity when no one else was being given it, when it was
yes.
being unfair, it is good that they used their
you're
opportunity.
Being an ally, essentially.
Correct. Exactly
yes.
correct. They use their opportunity for a good reason.
Using
they,
your, yes,
right.
for sure.
Right. So, you know, blowing
but, like,
in the wind.
But, like, it's 2016.
Right. Blowing in the wind, though,
when
is
we're
a song
giving him
that,
the award.
That does seem to be important even today, and a song that I think really makes him more deserving of awards like
the one. I guess, like, but it's one song.
Like, BFD. There's more than stuff.
All right, anyway, okay. Back to Nashville. BFD. And Wanda Jackson and Loretta Lynn and Tammy Wynette and June Carter Cash, you know, and all those women that get beat up by all their husbands but still showed up to make music every day. And all the backup singers that were black women that were getting beat up by their husbands, too, and showed up to make music every day and not get any credits or liner notes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I mean. Yeah. Like, just that struggle. There's a really great documentary, and it was on Netflix for a minute, called 20 Feet from Stardom, about just backup singers. It's really good. And, like, this is a side note, and it's, like, mostly black women, you know, and it was mostly, like, country music and, you know, like, it was, like, the Elvis era and, like, early rock and roll, you know?
I'm familiar with that because I think one of the people in that competed on The Voice. I'm not sure, a couple seasons ago.
Maybe.
I don't know if you watch The Voice. I do watch The Voice.
I don't watch it consistently, but I will tell you, I'll see those little blips on the internet and these girls that come on and sing just break your heart.
I mean, I want to watch it now because Miley Cyrus is a judge. And
I'm here for Alicia Keys. I mean, people have
amazing
views on her.
And
this girl just sang, did you see that viral?
Which one?
A girl sang an Alicia Keys song, and I was like, oh, this girl gonna sing Alicia Keys to Alicia Keys. And she slayed it. And of course, Alicia Keys, like, total Shine Theory moment was like, I mean, how are you going to be so confident that you're going to come up to sing my song? I mean, she didn't say this, you know, but she was basically giving this girl, like, all the credit for just even having the guts to sing to the artist.
I
and that's
the
cool thing about
Nashville,
too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of interaction with the lineage, right? And, like, that's even part of Juliet and Raina's, like, conflict. Like, Juliet has so much pride, but Raina's one of her, like, heroes, you know? And you do see their storyline develop really nicely. They're there for each other. Juliet does end up, I mean, they don't ever become, like, friends, but, like, they're there for, like, Juliet goes to her in moments of need. And that's the thing about Raina, right? And, like, she's always the classiest, right? She always opens the door. Like, she's very Julia Sugarbaker. Can I?
Yeah,
I mean,
please.
Do we know Designing Women? Do you know that show?
No.
Your precious little baby. Precious little baby heart. Designing Women is fabulous. Another show about Southern women. Four women who own, like, an interior design studio.
Oh, that's not a reality show?
It should be. It could have been. And it had a great cast. And Julia Sugarbaker was one of the characters. And she was also just, like, one of the few and early feminist, like, icons. You know, it was, like, of the 80s on television. And not every episode, but, like, every now and then she would end up, like, coming to bat for a woman or even just some marginalized person, and she would just have this, like, epic monologue that was, like, less than 2 minutes long, and you're like, oh my God, like,
so
I need you to be, like, my speechwriter.
Awesome.
You know, I need, so, and I think Raina has,
I agree with
element,
you. I agree with you for sure. She's not a weak character.
No,
I don't think
she's
anything
not.
About her is weak.
No.
I just,
And but I think it's important to note, that, like, it's hard sometimes to see the cool, calm, collected, you
the
know.
The person who's, who's completely in control or completely, you know, at least.
Right.
Right, yeah. I'm
yeah, sure and, like, we do that to women a lot, too. We're like, no, we want to know you. Like, we need to know you to like you. We need to know personal things, you know. We need to, you know who you're sleeping with and, like, what, you know, but it's true. And we
don't do
it to men in the same way. There's, like, a huge media bias.
Yeah.
And so if you're thinking, not only are we, like, talking about, and I'm maybe critiquing a TV show, but it's a TV show about another, like, pop cultural space, which is music, not just country music, but pop music, you know. And then,
well, and then, like you just said, the way that we publicly
and
judge
Juliet's auditions for films too. So there's a point in the movie where that now she's, like, going breaking into film.
Oh, wow.
Which is fascinating. Yeah, she plays Patsy Cline, which is a whole other layer, if you know Patsy Cline's story.
We're running out of time.
We
have someone else. I know we have someone else coming into the studio
didn't
in just
even
5 minutes.
About anything.
Rachel, you have something else though you were going to say?
I was going to say two things.
She got tired.
One that I just started stretching when you started talking to me and I couldn't stop.
Sorry.
We should rate the show. Also just, like, super fun, stupid fact. I put up a video last night on Instagram about how I was watching Nashville.
I saw it and liked it.
And Adam Carolla liked it.
Yes.
So I was like, that's the most random thing I've ever seen. And I'm sure he was just liking everything he could find.
Adam,
if you're listening, what's up?
Call up.
Also, loved you on The Celebrity Apprentice, which I am still 100% behind. regardless of who.
And Adam Carolla, we love your podcast.
Ew,
and you should
do?
Be on
we
our
love
podcast.
Him?
No, we don't.
We
I mean,
love
yeah,
Adam
we love
Carolla.
It.
No,
I'm not.
His podcast is one of the most successful, first
I
and foremost.
About
which benefits us.
Successful
honestly.
Doesn't mean it's
which
good.
Benefits us if he
Joe
becomes
Rogan.
A guest with us. I can't
sure.
believe I'm being so honest.
All right,
he
can be on my podcast too.
He's also a really funny dude.
I'm not saying he's not funny. Like,
I was rooting for you on
but
the
no,
Celebrity
he's also
Apprentice,
real
Adam.
Yeah, no, yeah, okay.
We says can... pretty.
So anyway,
says some not so, great things about women.
That's true.
Final thoughts on Nashville.
Well, so before we do that, real quick, I just want to ask if there's anything else we left out because you are the expert of the show, Alicia. So is there something? Because I know we always leave a bunch of crap out.
Well, I think you should stick with it. You know, it does get better. Mm-hmm. And like I was saying, I revisited season 3, so maybe go there because Rain is now in a high profile relationship. So there's that. Oh. What does it look like when you become a celebrity? And there's this like, there's a lot of. I was rewatching it and like, this is the season of masculinity, and they go into that's when they go into some of the coming out stuff. You find out.
So there is a gay character.
Well, and you find out stuff about Deacon and Raina. You find out their history, which is very much relevant to the current, too.
Got it.
Juliet gets pregnant, you know, and oh, wow. suffers with postpartum. But season 3 specifically, I do want to give a shout out, especially because October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And season 3 has a storyline with that.
Wow.
And speaking of like the country music and the not loving it, the character, Sadie Smith, I think is her name on the show. Her music is more that kind of like gritty songwriting, kind of more like a throwback to kind of like earlier era of country. And Raina is like, we need to sign her. And then they end up kind of, Sadie ends up like acknowledging I'm being harassed by, you know, my abusive ex.
Wow.
And that's a whole arc. And I'm not going to tell you how it ends.
Yeah, I should have watched season 3.
Yeah, go that home and watch season 3 and text me and let me know if you like it a little better.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know how to follow that. Rachel, we have to rate the show. How do we do that again?
You rate it out of 5 whatever things you think
something that is relevant to the show.
Appropriate to the show.
We make up a rating system that connects to the
like
show.
Like cowboy boots?
Like CMT awards.
So I'm going to rate the show 2.5 out of 5 men that look identical.
Now, you also are going to watch season 3, though, because I think you're going to.
I mean, I think there's like a lot of, I'm not going to lie, like there's a lot of other shows that I'm probably going to watch first.
Okay.
But eventually, though. I will explore season 3.
Okay. I mean, no bigs.
What's your rating?
And what am I going to rate it by?
Yeah.
I am going to rate it by, like cowboy boots, just classic. And
I like
I'm going to give it 4 cowboy boots.
4 out of 5 cowboy boots.
4 out of 5 cowboy boots.
And what are you going to give it?
Man, I like both of those rating systems so much more than anything I can think of. I like Hayden Panettiere's character a lot, though, so I feel like I have to do something very specific to her.
it's not creepy.
I almost said her, too. Like,
did you? Did you almost say her?
Her moods or something.
Right, yeah, or just her stolen nail polishes. I will give it 4 to 5 stolen nail polishes.
Yeah, you were into it.
Because some of the time, I really, really like the show, but I think that... You know, there are moments where it's not exactly 4 to 5. So I would say
dramatic.
And I would say what you just described makes me even more excited for the show as a whole.
Yeah,
oh, good.
I feel like I just took an awesome class in Nashville. So now I feel like I want to look at it through a different lens.
Right. So my 4 to 5 is not necessarily what I've seen so far, but what I'm expecting to see moving forward.
Oh, yeah, I would do the
like
same
that.
Rating.
I appreciate that.
After listening to you talk about it, I would give it a higher rating.
Nashville, call me. Like, let me help you get your ratings up because they're coming back. You know, they were canceled and they got picked up by like Hulu.
Yeah,
so they're like now Hulu's first foray into like self-production a little bit.
Oh, they did that with the Mindy
Project. Oh, maybe that's what it is. Yeah, it's something.
They have an exclusive deal with Hulu, but I think they're also going to be airing on the country music
station. Which they should. Yeah. I mean, they literally talk about it on the show. Like they're there. They go to the Grand Ole Opry.
Right. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Alicia.
Thank you.
We will be back next week.
I'm clapping.
Yeah, that was really great.
Yeah,
we'll be back next week. I have no idea what we're talking about. Do we know what we're talking about next week?
I think we should do Gilmore Girls next week.
Oh, my God, we'll do Gilmore Girls.
I'll get someone in here to talk about Gilmore Girls.
Right. I mean, I know so many people if you need someone.
Do you?
I love Gilmore Girls.
We should have my mom
feminists
in.
Love Gilmore Girls.
You know, I forgot. I should mention this. I am so, so grateful to Amy Guth for introducing me to Anna Furnatt and to Anna Furnatt for introducing me to you now because I'm getting this wonderful trail.
I love all these ladies.
Anna, Alicia, all the A's.
I'm getting this wonderful trail of human beings from this one group. So if you have another person to suggest.
That's how we do.
Please do it.
I got all the awesome ladies.
Although, I think we should have my mom do the Gilmore Girls podcast.
Okay.
That is fun.
Because my mom has watched it on a loop ever since it went on Netflix 2 years ago.
To interview
every
your mom.
Single day.
Oh my God, moms great. So much. Yeah. Yeah, such good yeah. conversations with moms.
I think
moms.
She would be really sad if okay. it wasn't her. So.
FYI, we're probably going to talk a lot about your childhood.
With Rachel's mom.
Gilmore Girls with Rachel's mom.
That is the most exciting thing I've ever said. Yeah. You've been challenged next week. Rachel's mom.